Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Oh, the bridges you'll cross. This is for Hannah and Helen, but for everyone, too, but especially for them. The bridging ceremony honors the transition to adulthood, something that is increasingly confusing in American society. But we really believe that when our young people reach the end of high school and the religious education program, they're ready to go out and do something in the world on their own terms. And we can't presume what that will be. One of my favorite colleagues once said, "I know we'll be doing it right when instead of asking our people who graduate from high school where they're going to college, we ask them what are their plans for after high school, and not make assumptions about what they should be doing." So a little encouragement to make your own choices there. But the bridges you'll cross. I want to tell you two stories about crossing bridges. And one was when I was just a little older than Hannah and Helen are now. I was between my sophomore and junior years in college. And one of my closest friends going up was getting married to his sweetheart, whom he had met at college in Michigan. And one of my other closest friends growing up and I decided we'd make a road trip of it. So about 3 weeks before the scheduled wedding, we got into my friend's VW Beetle. My semester had ended, his hadn't, but as he was going out the door, he told his parents he dropped out of college anyway. And we went on the road. And about 2 weeks into the trip, we were ready to cross, having gone through Pennsylvania and Ohio and dropped in on friends who were going to school there. And we went up to the northern peninsula of Michigan and camped out, taking note of where the bear traps were in the state park and pitching our tent at some distance away. And early in the morning, got into the car to drive to the South Peninsula over the Mackinac Bridge. Now, the Mackinac Bridge, just so you know, I have to look at this here, is 26,372 feet long, or 4.99 miles. And it spans from the northern peninsula of Michigan to the southern peninsula, and at one end is Mackinac Village. Now that morning, it was very foggy over the Great Lakes, and once we got on the bridge, we couldn't see what was behind us or what was in front of us. And Kevin, who was driving, just kept his eyes on the stripes on the pavement and the abutments. And those of you who are old enough to remember what the headlights were on those like on those original Beatles and know this was a challenge. And so there we were for almost 5 miles, moving forward but not being able to see much of anything to the right, to the left, in front of, or behind us. It seemed like a much longer bridge than it was. Though we did eventually get to the other side safely and continue to our last stop on this trip and our friend's wedding. Well, that was about 1969. A few years earlier, there was a bridge crossing I was not present for. And this was the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And this was one of the key moments of the Civil Rights Movement. Now, the Edmund Pettus Bridge is in Selma. And Martin Luther King and his colleagues at the Southern Christian Leadership Conference had organized a march for voting rights to go from Selma to Montgomery, 54 miles away. And the first time they went to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge, which, so you know, is 1,248 feet long, or 0.24 miles, and crosses the Alabama River. The first time they tried to cross was the day that became known as Bloody Sunday, as the police beat the demonstrators and drove them back, beat them and used fire hoses on them, and that was when the senior Congress members now had his skull broken from Georgia. And then a few days later, they sat out again. The bridge was blocked again. So Dr. King stopped them for a prayer at the entrance of the bridge and went back to the Brown Memorial Chapel, which was their headquarters. In the meantime, civil rights workers had been attacked, and James Reeb, for whom our other building is named, was killed. Unitarian Universalist minister. By now, the White House was concerned, and they had not only a court order the marchers to be able to cross the bridge, but the protection of the federal government and the National Guard. So on March 21st, the third time, they set out with 3,200 marchers and started the long walk to the Capitol in Montgomery. And by the time they reached there, there were 15,000 marchers. But it didn't take all that long to cross that first bridge. But that bridge was just the start of a longer journey. Two bridge crossings that in themselves can, one is personally significant and one is historically significant. But they point to some of the experiences that we can have, whether we're thinking of crossing a bridge literally, like the Mackinac Bridge or the Pettus Bridge. And the Pettus Bridge, by the way, was named for a Confederate general and Klan leader, which made that victory to walk across it so much sweeter. Whether it's a personal thing, a literal crossing can be a challenge and an experience in itself, or whether those, as our bridging ceremony does, stands for something larger in our lives. Transitions, changes, going out on adventures. A bridge can take you from a place to a place, usually much more quickly than going on the ground because it takes you across a river or a gully or, in the case of the Mackinac Bridge, a big piece of a lake. Or, as we picture it as a symbol here in our religious practice, is the transition from youth to adulthood. But we also talk about bridges across divisions between people. And this can be personal. In many families, there is someone who, when there are family disputes, and lots of families have family disputes, are the bridge makers, the peacemakers, between the people who are fighting with each other. And as one writer put it, I got real tired of being that bridge in my family. But then bridges across chasms within our larger society, reaching across differences and divides. I think of Junius Wilson's book, The Bridge Over the Racial Divide, which came out about 20 years ago, where he is a sociologist, frustrated with the difficulty of making changes and advances in civil rights and the divisions in society, raised the question of maybe there's another way to do this, and talked about interracial organization around long lines of class rather than the racial differences. Bridges from a difficult time to a better time in society, but also in personal lives, like that Simon and Garfunkel song, Bridge Over Troubled Water. Getting over those difficult times, much like a bridge going over a rough river that you could never wade or row across. Well, we need not just to cross bridges. There are plenty of them out there, you know. Cross a bunch every day, don't we? Road bridges, maybe a footbridge, highway bridges. We need not just to cross bridges in that sense, nor to cross bridges that people have already built in our families and society. We need to build bridges ourselves. And never has that been truer than it is today. Last night, Jody and I were at a performance of music in honor of the late Gene Ritchie, a dulcimer player and preserver of Kentucky folk music and folk songs from the mining country. And one of the groups playing was a husband-wife duo named Magpie. And they sang a song about to build 10,000 bridges, but not a single wall. Which kind of reminded me of what Angela Davis once said, that a bridge is a wall on its side. We do need to build bridges in this time. And there are plenty of examples of building bridges that have made a difference. And here I'm speaking metaphorically as much as physically. Nelson Mandela spoke of this when he was inaugurated as president of the Union of South Africa. After a half century of struggle, much of which he spent in prison, to end the apartheid system in that country, and in the first multiracial elections, he was elected president. He said in his inaugural address, "The time for the healing of the wounds has come. The moment to bridge the chasms that divide us has come. The time to build is upon us. We have at last achieved our political emancipation. We pledge ourselves to liberate all our people from the continuing bondage of poverty, deprivation, suffering, gender, and other discrimination." Strong and powerful words spoken of a bridge yet to be built, even after decades of struggle. More to be done. But then again, after the civil rights workers crossed the Pettus Bridge, they had 54 miles to walk on that march, and another year before the Voting Rights Act was passed, and more years to chip away at the discrimination in our society. Oh, the bridges you'll cross. Not all of them will be difficult. Some will be easy, like many of the bridges we cross as we go about our business every day. But somebody did build them. Some will be quick and easy, hardly noticeable. Others will be long and slow, like that seemingly endless ride over the Mackinac Bridge I had as a 20-year-old. To explain how significant that was, you should understand, I have a totally irrational fear of heights. Totally irrational. Yeah, I go up in high places anyway. That's the only way to deal with it. So being on that bridge high above the water without being able to see one end or the other, that was truly anxiety-producing. But sometimes we're in life like that, and something is going on, and we can't see the end of it, and we can barely see where it started, but we know we have to keep going forward. So some bridges are like that. And others are short and difficult, like that Pettus Bridge. But some are also short and spectacular. I think of the Bear Mountain Bridge up over the Hudson. That's a very short bridge over a very deep part of the Hudson Valley. And for someone who gets scared of heights, it's still spectacularly beautiful. I just can't look at it as I drive over it. But then I can slow down at the other end and look back. And some bridges in life are like that too, aren't they? scary to get through, but beautiful at the end. So, and sometimes we get to situations where we need to build the bridges, and I've mentioned that already. But sometimes we need to wonder how to build them. The achievements of the civil rights movement didn't just happen. It was years of struggle and strategy and changing tactics. Apartheid took 50 years to dismantle after it was started, with changes in tactics and strategies. And sometimes in people's lives, it takes a while to figure out how to get through a struggle we need to get through, whether it's between members of a family or in one's own sense of self. Well, Stacy Ann Chin in the Deaf Poetry Jam on Broadway gave me another way of thinking of a bridge. She says, imagination is the bridge between the things we know for sure and the things we need to believe when our world becomes unbearable. A bridge to carry the spirit, imagination, and certainly needed when it's not clear what needs to come next. So all the bridges you'll cross. Some will be fun, some will be a challenge, some will be scary, some will be easy. But it's the ability to cross the bridge in our young people that we celebrate today. Because you have the energy, the enthusiasm, the vision, and the time to step out there and step across bridges, take risks, but know that you have a family and a loving religious community to support you, even if you stumble sometimes, and even if you have to change paths. Oh, the bridges you cross, may they be many, may they be joyful, and may you always be happy on the other side. Amen. Blessed be.